Once again, that was Falling To by La Lune. Thank you all for tuning in. Once again, this is Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for the hour, but also the community journalist for this station, as well as soon to be host of the Analog Archives, which is coming to you this Thursday. That is right. I could not do this hour without doing a little plug that not just me, but there's a new show coming, and that is Analog Archives, which is going to be a show that is going to delve into the physical archives of the station, which is something I'm really excited about, because anyone who's been inside the station knows just how many records and tapes and CDs we have, and so much of it is just so all over the place. You know, I think what inspired this show for me was the fact that I could find a tape, I could play it, I could think it sounded great, but then I would look it up and I could not find a trace of it. And it would take a lot of research to find any sort of information online about this tape or record or CD or whatever it be. And I want to do a show all about that. So that is what Analog Archives is going to be. And that is going to be Thursdays at 6 p.m. Not just me, though, when I said that earlier. We also have another volunteer of ours, Lauren, who's going to be starting her show. I believe it's called Your Shoes Untied. And it's going to be a show delving into shoegaze and noise and everything in between. And I'm really excited for that, because that's going to be a very sort of genre-specific show with artist interviews and new music and things like that. So very exciting stuff that's also going to be playing on Thursdays, but at 2 p.m., I believe. Lots of exciting things on the way at the station. Thursdays is going to be a good day for live radio here, 90.1 FM. And I think the station should be setting up some sort of opening event for both shows at some point, but nothing set in stone, so I'm not going to say too much on that. I'm very excited, and I hope you all are too. And to cap off that excitement, I thought I would play a very classic CJSF bird note. That is right. This one is titled Birds, Nests, and Camouflage. Take a listen.
This is Bird Note. Safety is everything for birds during breeding season, be it of the eggs, the chicks, and even the mother, so nests must be well hidden. In fact, nests often blend in so well with the background that they're very difficult to see. But do birds deliberately choose materials that camouflage their nests? To find out, a team of biologists from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland studied male zebra finches, tiny Australian songbirds with smoky gray heads, stubby red beaks, orange cheeks, and black and white tails. Peaceful and friendly, they are popular both for research and as pets. The scientists wallpapered the finches' cages with one color of paper. Then, they gave the birds two differently colored materials to build their nests. For the most part, the finches chose to build with materials that matched the walls of their cages. But many of the zebra finches also used small amounts of materials that weren't the same color as the walls. This suggests that the birds may have a second way to hide their nests, disruptive camouflage. The small pieces of nesting material that don't match the wallpaper break up the nest's visual outline, so it is less likely to catch a predator's eye. Safety, it turns out, can sometimes be found in plain sight. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Thank you to Bird Note for that lovely piece. And before I get into the next talk segment, I thought I would also talk a bit about CJSF being in the community this summer. So recently on Saturday, we were out at the Catalano Festival, which seemed to be a lot of fun. I stopped by briefly, came to the table that CJSF was at. We were actually at a joint table with CITR for a lot of the day. And we had Chris of CJSF helping out with that, as well as Liz, William, Kate, Lauren as well, who is starting her show this Thursday. And we also had a lot of local artists being played at Catalano, some of which are regulars on the CJSF charts. So I thought I would play some of them again for all of you today. This is Too Close to the Sun by The Houseplants, who also performed at Catalano this weekend. Hope you enjoy. Once again, that was The Houseplants with Too Close to the Sun. I believe they're also performing in a few days, actually, July 11th at Green Auto. So if there are still tickets available for that and you enjoy that song, make sure to check them out. Anyway, we are back with the talk portion of Speak Up, only on CJSF. And this one comes all the way from Montreal. And the reason I am picking a piece all the way from Montreal is because I just found it very, very fascinating. This news piece is called Meet the Bat Watchers of NDG. And, you know, living in BC, I'm well aware of just how widespread and popular bird watching is, you know, birders and all that. But these are bat watchers, and they are scanning them through acoustic microphones, you know, picking up frequencies that you would not be able to hear just with the regular human ear. That's super cool, and I thought I would play this. So this piece is from Adam Innes from CJLO in Montreal. Thank you so much to Adam for this piece. Now it's time to meet the Bat Watchers.
Hello, you're listening to CJLO News. You've heard of bird watchers, but how about bat watchers? Here in NDG, there is a group of researchers and community members who go out at night and pick up the sounds of bats. They're called bat walks, and the first bat walk of the year took place on the evening of June 26th. CJLO tagged along. This is the sound of a bat recorded near Terry Fox Park along Rue Saint-Jacques. This sound was gathered using wildlife acoustic technology. Sensitive microphones are able to isolate sounds too high-pitched for human ears. The bat walks are run by a group called Finding Urban Nature, or FUN, a partnership between the charity group Urban Nature Education and Concordia's biology department. FUN leads public talks, tours, and other events to help get citizens engaged with urban nature.
I think kids generally understand it with just kind of as a basic treasure hunt in their own community to find a new thing that they didn't know about before. And I think everyone is a kid at some level that comes out here to learn what more there is in their community, in their daily life, that they might not have noticed before. And once you've noticed them, it's hard to unnotice them.
That was FUN's director, Karen Fisher-Favre. She was out with a team of students and community members. The people on the bat walks are given wildlife acoustic microphones attached to iPads. These pick up the sounds of the bats, as members of FUN explain the importance of bats in the area.
The main ecosystem service that these bats provide to our community is really reducing the number of insects. So a bat can eat up to 1,000 insects an hour in the middle of summer, and the nursing females get up to 4,000 an hour.
The group is in its third year running the bat walks. Here's Concordia researcher Ashley Spanier-Levesse talking about some of the bats they've seen on these walks.
We've mainly seen big brown bats, silver-haired bats, and hoary bats. Occasionally, mostly down by the water, we've gotten eastern red bats. Sometimes a tricolored bat will appear, and there's been a few really random ones that we're not very confident in have reappeared.
In addition to bat walks for public education, the Concordia researchers here are also studying what are called flight corridors, examining the paths that bats take through the skies so that cities can plan development without disturbing the winged animals. For CJLO News, I'm Adam Innes.
Thank you to Adam Innes from CJLO on that really interesting piece about bat watching. Yeah, maybe that'll become more of a thing, not just in Montreal, but in other parts of the country. Maybe it already is, and a local journalist just needs to find it. Anyway, I thought before I would get into the next segment, I would play another song from another group that performed at Katsulano. This one is from Bloom Effect. It's called Armor. Hope you enjoy.
Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. IntraVenus, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
And we're back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. And I think we have one more talk piece for this hour. This one actually comes all the way from New Brunswick. And it is titled, Acorn, New Brunswick Calls on Governments to Ensure Access to Air Conditioning for All. And the reason I chose this piece is because this is something that is not only happening in New Brunswick, but all over Canada, really, and here in BC. You know, Acorn is a national organization, and I believe that their New Westminster faction actually demonstrated outside of City Hall yesterday. So, you know, this is something that has been going on, and I think something that is maybe an underrepresented form of, you know, or not form, but thing that is being protested, that is being advocated for. Because, you know, it's not getting any colder these summers, and I think that, honestly, within, you know, I can only speak from my own experience within the Lower Mainland, I think there is a lot of work that can be done to ensure that AC is something that is accessible and widespread for all. So here is this piece from Aidan Keenan from CHSR in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
On Wednesday, June 25th, 2025, members of Acorn NB, a union that advocates for low and moderate income New Brunswickers, stood outside 501 Dundonald Street, a large apartment building in Fredericton, to raise awareness for the National AC for All campaign. Here's chair of Acorn NB, Nicola Taylor.
So we're on Dundonald Street in Fredericton, downtown, and today we're launching our campaign for AC for All. So this is to call on the provincial government to work closely with the municipal government to provide AC for low-income earners. We're trying to ring home that usually tenants don't have the control of putting AC in. It's stipulated a lot of times in their lease if they're allowed it or not. If landlords do allow it, often they put up rents or they say we'll let you have it for between $100 and $300 extra.
Acorn NB member Rena Commonalia expanded on why Acorn is focusing on tenant access to AC rather than focusing on homeowners.
Like, having access to AC is now a necessity. Like, landlords, they have an obligation to ensure that the residences are livable, and part of that is that the residence is at a reasonable temperature. Summer happens every year, and we know that it gets hot in Fredericton, it can get hot in Fredericton. So part of having a livable residence should include having air conditioning to ensure that especially people who are susceptible to like getting heat exhaustion or heat stroke are able to live in their homes comfortably.
Rena also explained how not having access to air conditioning can have very real consequences.
Because of climate change, we're now getting hotter and hotter summers. We're going to have more days where there's these extreme heat weather events, which means that there's a higher risk for things like heat exhaustion or heat stroke. And you're more vulnerable to that if you have certain like medical conditions, if you take certain medications. So like not having AC, it just harms the most vulnerable people in our community.
Nicola provided some solutions and steps that Acorn NB would like to see all three levels of government take.
The federal government, they should be having an acquisition, some kind of fund that passes down to the provincial government. And then, of course, the provincial government should work closely with the municipal government to make sure that there are things in place. Another thing that they can do municipally is welcoming a bylaw, like a maximum heat bylaw, which we do see in other provinces, which means that they're not allowed to let their apartment reach a certain temperature in summer. And if they do, they would be fined for doing that.
Nicola also offered some less policy-based solutions.
We know there are some politicians who are not in government who are calling for cooling centres. We don't have such things in New Brunswick, so people can't even go anywhere to cool off. We know these exist in other provinces. They don't exist here. But even cooling centres are limited, because if you have disability and your mobility is not great, or you know, you're a senior, you find it difficult to get out and about, you're not going to go out to a cooling centre. So the way to tackle that is to have some kind of programme that offers AC in your apartment.
Luckily, other examples of programs that provide AC in Canada already exist.
BC has this program right now, actually, and they're offering free air conditioning units to people who already have pre-health conditions if they present a note or if they're a senior. So it does exist. So there's no reason that New Brunswick can't follow suit.
I'm Aidan Keenan for CHSR 97.9 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.
Wandering Rhythms, Mondays from noon to 2.
Join us in a weekly sample of music from planet Earth.
The strangest mixtape you will ever hear.
Desert blues.
Balkan punk.
Latin funk.
African psych.
Pigeon rap.
And anything and everything else you can imagine, equally represented by all continents.
Because good music is universal.
Wandering Rhythms.
Mondays at noon on CJSF 90.1 FM.
All right, we are now at the end of the hour for this Tuesday's Speak Up. But thank you all so much for tuning in. Once again, that last piece was from Aidan Keenan at CHSR in New Brunswick. It's good to know that there is, you know, protections in place for those that are most vulnerable. But there are still barriers when it comes to accessible air conditioning within not just BC, but throughout Canada. So it's important for organizations such as ACORN to continue advocating for measures such as that. Anyways, coming up next on CJSF at 11 a.m. this Tuesday, but also this Monday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, is none other than Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. So stay tuned for that, because it's coming right your
way. Do you want